We're visiting this morning with 1st District Congressman James Comer from his Washington, D.C. office. A little update on what's going on this week in Washington and, of course, other things as well. Congressman, you might just bring us up to speed on what's been happening with you and what you're involved with in Washington, D.C.
Well, of course, you have a new leadership team in the House of Representatives now, led by Nancy Pelosi, and they have a very liberal agenda, and they've been voting on a lot of things. Labor laws, regulations. Of course, they brought their hatred of Donald Trump to the forefront. I serve on the Oversight Committee, so we had testimony with Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, last week that received a considerable amount of press. So we've been kind of doing those sorts of things over the last couple of weeks. I'm hopeful that it'll eventually get settled down and we can start trying to find areas where we can agree and do things that the American people want. But the last couple of weeks, it's been quite interesting in Washington.
You mentioned the Michael Cohen hearings last week in Congress. What's really your take on how that's going in Congress right now?
I mean, I really don't see the purpose of bringing Michael Cohen in. He's lied to Congress. He had lied to Congress once. He lied to us, as it turned out, at least six times during the second testimony. When you have your first committee hearing and your first star witness is somebody that's on his way to jail and already been convicted of, among other things, lying to Congress, I think it creates a cloud of suspicion over what you're really trying to accomplish. And I think that when you look at the whole investigation of Trump, it was supposed to be about Russia. And I think it's becoming pretty apparent that Donald Trump did not collude with Russia. And now everyone's trying to pivot and dig up stuff in his personal life, dig up stuff from his business past. And, you know, the investigation was supposed to be about Russia. And I think it's disappointing that once they figured out that it's, you know, there was no wrongdoing with Russia, you know, let's move on. And let's try to focus on the things that the American people want, and that's a good economy and a brighter future for their children and grandchildren, better roads and bridges, better broadband, things like that. But, you know, I was disappointed in the hearing, but I'm here to say from the update we got yesterday, they're probably going to be hearings like that for the next 7 or 8 months in that committee. So all I can say is hang on, and I'm sure there'll be never a shortage of dull moments on that committee.
Congressman, you met with the Corps of Engineers for some updates this week about the flooding in Kentucky and along the Cumberland River. You might just give us some updates of what you found there.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. There's no question about it. I've got farms, and I've got sections of my farms where I can't get to. I've got cattle on the wrong side of the flooding, just like most cattle farmers. We've got equipment we can't get to, equipment stuck in the fields. The Corps, I think, trying to do the best that they can do. They've got all the dams along the rivers opened up just about to maximum capacity. If they shut the dam, start shutting the gates, and this rain that's coming in this weekend, look, you know, they're forecasting 2 inches. You could have a scenario where the water could start running over the dam, over the top of the dam. And if you have that, then you've got a dam that's compromised, and then you've got the potential for catastrophe. So, unfortunately, it's just showing record amounts of rain. We've had record amounts of rain. I believe that the update they said yesterday, we're probably going to see these accelerated water levels on the rivers for the next 2 months. And unfortunately, for the river traffic, which is so important for our agriculture industry and the aluminum industry and to transport fuel to Nashville and everywhere else goes down the rivers, the river traffic's at a halt for at least 3 more weeks. And that starts to bring the economy in our area to a halt. So we've got a serious problem. The Corps has been updating us on the phone every day, but we had sit-down meetings with them this week in the office. My congressional district's in 3 different Corps of Engineer districts. Of course, Alan, you all are in the Nashville district. We've got the Louisville district on up the river a little bit on past Livingston County, and then in the eastern part of the district, where my farms are, it's well, you got the Memphis part of the district and the western part of the district. I'm in the Nashville district too, so you've got a lot of different people we're having to deal with at the core. But at the end of the day, it's just a terrible situation, and there's not much more they can do to prevent the flooding, unfortunately.
Congressman, I know you've met a lot recently with a lot of groups from Kentucky, including Kentucky Farm Bureau. I noticed where Steve Hunt and Ross Morgan were visiting with you in your office, and several other folks as well, including Kentucky Broadcast. You might just tell us about some of those meetings.
Yeah, we've had some great meetings. I love it when people come from the district, especially farm families. Agriculture's in a challenging environment right now. The number one issue that every farmer wants to talk about is trade. Also, I met with Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue this week, and he gave us an update on the trade talks. They feel like they're very far along in the trade talks, and they're very close to getting an agreement. I hope that's true. Our goal all along was for this to be settled by March. It's March. It really needs to get settled. I know we've got a terrible situation with soybeans. We have a lot of soybeans in storage bins all over America that haven't been sold. It's getting time to start planting again. Number one, we want to be able to export with China again. We would like for China to try to make a big order. They had announced a couple of weeks ago they were going to make a big order of soybeans. That has not happened yet. But Secretary Perdue feels like that we'll be able to go right back into that Chinese market with our soybeans. If we lose the Chinese market in soybeans, then we've got a big problem in Kentucky agriculture, especially in West Kentucky. So hopefully that will happen. And Perdue and the trade representatives have mentioned soybeans as much as any commodity or any type of manufacturing, anything in the trade deal. He said soybeans has been at the top of the list because they understand how important that market was for the American economy.
Congressman, again, a busy time there in Congress. You might just update us on some other things that are going on in Congress as well from your standpoint.
Of course, you've got a lot of situation, just a lot of drama on Pelosi's end in the House. We've got some anti-Semitic remarks from some of her new members in Congress. That's received a lot of attention. It seems like when the media focuses on an issue, that suddenly goes to the forefront of the House. What the things that we're working on, we obviously, my side of the aisle, we're trying to focus on working with President Trump to lower prescription drug costs. That's a huge issue that I think there are some things that can be done legislatively to focus on prescription drug costs. You know, it was unfortunate that in the last Congress, the Senate was unable to come together and repeal and replace the Obamacare Health Care Act. But I believe that we can focus on things within health care that we all agree on. We all agree that prescription drug prices are too high. We all agree that we must maintain protection for people with pre-existing conditions. So hopefully we can make revisions to health care to try to make health care more affordable. But at any rate, prescription drug prices are out of control, especially when you look at things like insulin that have gone up so much over the last few years, and insulin hasn't changed any in the last 30 or 40 years. There's no reason for insulin prices to continue to skyrocket. So these are some things that I hope that we can find agreement on in a bipartisan way over the next few weeks and months, and hopefully get something done for the American people.
Kentucky's 1st District Congressman James Comer talking with us, giving us some updates from Washington, D.C. this week.